eventually, I usually throw the instructions out. And then I get building halfway through or three quarters away, and I'm like, where do these extra pieces go? And then I read them and take things apart. So what about marriage? Does marriage come with instructions, assembly instructions? Does the Bible, does your marriage come with assembly instructions? Kind of get the answer away what I said. The Bible. I said it before. So the Bible is our instruction how to have a good and healthy relationship with a woman or with a man. Right? So God created marriage. And I think as believers we get attacked from all different aspects in our daily life because culture says marriage is defined by this. God says marriage is between a man, genetic male, and a genetic female. There's no other way. There's only two sexes, male and female. And no other relationship matters because it's contrary to the word of God. It's actually an abomination to God with men and trying to marry men because God didn't create Adam and Steve or Sally and Susie, right? He never did. So to have a biblical understanding of what marriage is, we have to look at what the Bible says it is. So where would we find biblical understanding of what marriage is? Huh? Well, okay, why do you guys date? Why do you guys date? Okay. Do you date?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Proverbs, it does. Genesis 2. Yeah. There's a whole Bible. The whole Bible from beginning to the end talks about marriage. Marriage is so important. And marriage is difficult, I think. How many of us have difficulties in our marriage? I think all of us have some sort of difficulty in our marriage. Right? To be honest, we have difficulty in marriage. And so Genesis 2, 18 to 25. Who wants to read that one? So he wants us to build a solid relationship with the opposite sex. It's also a picture of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the church is called the bride of Christ. It's our relationship with how intimate we're supposed to be with our Lord Jesus. And also a husband and wife are supposed to be intimate, relational with one another. And I know for a relationship, our relation between our husband and wife should resemble or honor Christ. And when people see husband and wife loving and nurturing and being with one another, it should honor him and also should point people to Christ. Because how many of us know that our wife may or husband may think differently than we do? And so sometimes there's some struggles, right? There's no such thing as a, since the fall, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. Because we both, husbands and wives, think differently, act differently, see things differently, talk differently. So what's the point of marriage? Is marriage trying to help you to reveal things in your life that need to be dealt with? To become more in love with the Lord? How do we have a healthy relationship? How do we have a healthy marriage? Having Christ as the center of our marriage. In order to have a healthy relationship or marriage, we have to have Christ as the center. Both the husband and wife looking to Christ and drawing closer to Christ. Christ is the one that holds the marriage together. And that's why if you're a believer and your wife's a non-believer or vice versa, it's kind of hard to have a healthy relationship because one person doesn't believe in God and the other one would. So what does God ask? That we fall in love with somebody who is of the same faith. And I know there's been examples of husbands and wife, one knows the Lord and one hasn't, and they both come to serve the Lord, but that not always has happened. So ideally, God really wants the husband and wife be fully devoted to Him so that the marriage can flourish and to grow. So when we date, we look for somebody who is like-minded, who has a love and desire for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the same interests as us. In our marriage, we learn from our mistakes. Keep short accounts. In our marriage, we don't hold it over them. Have you ever noticed that Eve was deceived in Adam's sin, and the first thing Adam said, you know, God, you give me this woman. He blamed God for giving the woman. And sometimes it's easy for us to blame our spouse for the things that we are doing wrong. But the question is what are we not doing? It's easy to blame somebody else. It's hard to take accountability for what you are not doing. So what are we not doing right in our relationship? Do we look at the negative things of our spouse? Or do we encourage our spouse? Do we pray for our spouse? Do we desire to grow with them spiritually? And I think sometimes it can be hard. But it also takes time to grow and to do that. And the willingness to want to grow with them spiritually. What's Mark 10, 8 to 9?
There we go. And the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let not man separate.
So God designed marriage to meet our needs for companionship and to provide a picture of our relationship with Him, to reveal the Lord Jesus to others through our marriage. Our marriage is supposed to be different as followers of Christ. How we react and love one another, how we just because we're two different, and it shows how God could unify two people who are, in the beginning, were very selfish. Because we all have our what we want. Instead of laying down and saying, you know what, I will surrender my life. I will give this to my wife as a husband. I will surrender my life to her as Christ did to the church. And then the wife turns around and loves the husband as unto the Lord because of what he's doing. There's such affection and love that we don't, a man is not better than a woman. A woman is not better than a man, but equal. But Christ has given a responsibility to the husband to be the covering, to pray for her, to encourage her, to protect her. So there's an accountability that God has placed on the husband of the house. And you look at the culture. They don't want the husband to be that way. They want the woman to be domineering or make the man look like a clown. Right? We get, as men, we get bombarded by saying, this, you're not supposed to act that way or behave that way. But we have a calling from God to protect our family, to raise our children, to sacrifice our life for our family, to be men of honor. And the woman loves that because she knows she feels secure in that husband, knowing that he will die for her without even having to ask, are you going to die for me? There's a responsibility which the culture does not like. But God, biblical understanding of a good marriage, the husband is willing to die for his wife. So a good marriage takes Jesus to be in the center of it. A man and woman working in unity, growing together, denying one another, to become less selfish, more considerate. Sometimes doing things that the other person may not want to do, like the other person might be so much, I like to go out and have good times all the time. The other person could be more, I like to stay home and hide. But I know myself, I'll go green and we go to different things, but I need time to go home and recharge. She knows I'm on my comfort zone, and vice versa. So a marriage is between a man and a woman. And that's the only biblical standard that God looks at. Because God says, even homosexuals in that will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So the gay marriage is totally contrary. And you think about how many churches, different denominations say gay marriage is okay. When God clearly states in his Bible that it's not. It's make a mockery of God. It's very sad to see how a lot of different churches are promoting gay marriage. Who are not, and they're worried, too worried about what culture will say about them. Instead of worrying about what God's going to do. Or what God says in his word. So God designed marriage to meet the human need for companionship, to have growing together, having hobbies together, doing things together. God created marriage to be a loyal partnership between one man and one woman. Marriage is the foundation for building a family that God intended man and woman to do, to procreate. God designed sexual expression to help married couples build intimacy between one another. So in marriage, you have sex in a godly way. In marriage, Marriage mirrors God's covenant relationship with his bride, so the church. So God designed it so that man needs the woman and the woman needs the man. So 1 Corinthians 11, 11 to 12. First Corinthians chapter 11, 11 and 12.
Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God.
And I know New King James says, nevertheless, is a man independent of a woman, nor a woman independent of a man. So you both need each other, working together in unity. You can't have a marriage if you're not working together. So a woman came from man, Eve came from Adam. But after that, man came from a woman because of procreation. So both are equal persons and yet have distinct roles to fulfill. God made Adam out of dust. So in Genesis 2, 7. So why did God make Eve from Adam's rib rather than from dust? So if God created Adam from dust, why didn't he make Eve from the dust? But why did God make Eve from the bone rib from Adam? Close to his heart. Yeah. Someone's close to his heart. Precisely. Because Adam's going to hold her close to his heart. When you love somebody, you hold them close. So Eve was not taken from Adam's head to rule over him, nor from his feet, that he should put her down, but she was taken from his side, so that he would protect her and have her close to his heart. Calling up her husband. Hold her close, hold her tight, make her feel secure. Think about when we have a relationship with Christ, our relationship with Christ is growing and he pulls us closer to him. He pulls us closer to him to be more intimate with us. And he wants us to know his heart. Likewise, a husband with his wife pulls her close. A man cherishes his wife as his own flesh. So we're supposed to cherish our wives. So Ephesians 5, 28 to 29. Yep. Ephesians 5, 28 to 29.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church.
That's the church, yeah. So as a husband is supposed to love our own wives as they are our own bodies. I think sometimes as husbands I have not nourished or cherished my wife as I ought to love and cherish her. I think sometimes that's where what happens is when how fights happen or disagreements happen. I don't cherish her the way or love her the way that I should be. So what's the most common misconception about marriage? What's one misconception conception about marriage. Yeah. We're going to live perfect lives. We're going to have perfect happiness. Conflict free. That ain't going to happen. But we work through it. We come alongside. Also, you know, you always say, I want to find my soulmate. Someone who's going to complete me. And what happens? You kind of get disappointed because what you thought that person was going to be a soulmate, it's like, oh my goodness, do they rub me the wrong way at times? But what does God want? It's amazing how you look at marriages, how the husband and wife are polar opposites at times, and yet have a lot of likes and loves that, like, they love to do, but they think differently. Right? My wife and I, we're kind of different, but we have a lot of things we like to do together. But sometimes I rub her the wrong way, and I do the, and vice versa. So in conflict, God is exposing what? Our heart. What's in my heart? How do I see my wife? Do I love her with all my heart? He's revealing things in my own life that need to be dealt with, and he's using my wife to bring it out and about. And sometimes he uses our kids to bring things in our own lives as married couples. Like, oh my goodness, I can't believe my kid does this. Right? Why can't they be perfect little loving angelic children? But sometimes God allows us to reveal our heart, our condition of our heart. So conflict God uses, right? And the problem of thinking that my wife's going to be my soulmate and she's going to complete me, the problem is that we are looking to another human to complete us, is that, spiritually speaking, it's adultery. It's adultery. When I think my wife's going to fulfill me, she's going to be my everything, that's adultery. Who is supposed to only fulfill us and satisfy us? Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who can fulfill us, to make us happy, who can make us content, who can make us love the other person who thinks differently, not my spouse. And you think about how people are saying, I want a perfect spouse. You're not going to find a perfect spouse. But how do you react in times of marriage? How do we react when we have troubled times? Do we go to the Lord? So we think if our spouse is going to be our soulmate, we expect our soulmate. We're saying that God, she's like God. But one of us are going to fail. But God doesn't. No person can live up to expectations or unrealistic expectations. Because we all have expectations of our husband or wife. Are they realistic? The expectations I have on my wife, are they realistic? Or does my wife have realistic expectations upon me? And I think, well, that's where a lot of the issues are between a husband and wife, is that we have these fantasies about this perfect marriage, and perfect kids, perfect everything, with no conflict or no troubles. But how do we react in those times? Do we forgive? When my wife, or if I go to my wife and I say, Karine, forgive me for doing this. And then Because when we go to Christ, we ask forgiveness. Lord Jesus, forgive me for blowing it. And he forgives us. But sometimes we'll hold that on. We'll remember, well, you remember about a year ago you did this? I'm going to hold that against you. But if I ask for forgiveness, do you hold on to that? Nowhere in the Bible did Eve or Adam blame one another. Like, I can't believe Eve, but he took that apple. He never kept on blaming her. We don't keep on blaming somebody, but we need to say, how can we grow from this? How can we build trust and respect for one another? How can we let go of the things that maybe you said in a harsh way or in the heat of the moment of anger, saying unkind words to somebody instead of loving words? How can we let go of the bitterness? How can we say, I want that door so Satan does not come in and keeps poking it and prodding into our marriage, trying to cause division within the marriage? Because if you look at the stats, the Christian church, marriages within the church, there is divorce rate as high as people who do not know Christ. And why is that? Are they because they have unhealthy expectations or don't want to forgive, don't want to deal with their stuff? Why is not the marriage in the body of Christ not flourishing as it should be? Is it because we don't want to deal with it? I know sometimes I don't want to deal with it. Did we read 2 Corinthians 10? 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6?
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness, to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
So God gives us the word of His word to help us to build our marriage, to be able to tear down maybe warped philosophies, what people say how marriage should be or what marriage should be like. So tearing down barriers between husbands and wives that stand against the truth of God in marriage. So those unrealistic expectations. So with Christ-centered relationship and unwavering commitment to make it work, your marriage can flourish just as God designed it. But it takes work. Takes the word of God and applying the word of God to your marriage. Is to forgive and to leave it behind, but to grow. You think about if a husband or a wife is going away from the Lord, it's really hard to have a Christ-centered marriage. So that's why it's important for a husband and wife to be together and to grow spiritually. And so I started this devotion the other day, Monday, I think it was. Not Monday, Wednesday. I don't know. But it's about marriage. And so it says this day two is perfection in infection. So it's a It's a philosophy. It's called perfection infection. So it's wrapped. It is a warped philosophy that most of us impose upon our marriage. When we have unrealistic expectations of one another in our marriage in general, this sets up the stage of disappointment, discouragement, disillusionment, and we unfairly compare our spouse to others, or even to our imaged spouse. This warped philosophy prepares the soil of our hearts for the seeds of discontentment to be sown. And I think when there's discontentment in our marriages, then one of us is going to start looking elsewhere. I think that's why what happens to marriages, when there's discontentment in a marriage, spouses start looking or gravitating to maybe other friends or this, and their marriages kind of pull apart instead of rather getting closer together. So is there discontentment in our own marriage? Are we discontent with our spouse? So our God tools helps us to tear down the barriers we erect in our hearts. That's honestly where most marriages issues begin and end, in the heart. So the condition is our heart is directly connected to the condition of our marriage. How is our marriage? How is our heart? So what about you? How about me? Can you identify any places where the perfection infection has caused us disappointment, discouragement, disillusionment in our heart? Can you see where you have unrealistic expectations and unfair comparisons concerning your spouse? Do we have that? I know we pray for the marriages in this church, I think every Tuesday for sure, and I pray for the marriages in this church throughout the rest of the week. I think about how important marriage is, and marriage, God created marriage. Marriage is important to Him. Is our marriage important to us? Do we desire to honor and glorify our Lord through our marriage? So what areas in our lives that we need to surrender? Is there unrealistic expectations that we have upon our spouse? Do we have this soil of discontentment started in our hearts, where we're so bitter at them because they're not fulfilling what we kind of need or desire? And those desires and needs we have, are they unrealistic that our spouse can't even meet or know or able to meet it? So open relationship, open communication, which sometimes I don't like doing. I know day three, when I did day three, about talking and to be open about what's in my heart and how I'm feeling, and not worried about if I'm going to start an argument. I think sometimes we're afraid of starting arguments. And I know we be able to have a open relationship talk, saying, this is my heart. And I'm learning about delivery. So marriage is important. And on my heart is to see marriages within the body of Christ to flourish. Because if the marriages in the body of Christ are flourishing, people outside the church will ask, why is your marriage flourishing? Because of my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I am dying to myself. I'm forgiving those things that that person does without really knowing. But then you do address them. You don't just, but to grow and to forgive and to grow. So I'm going to stop there. So maybe write down this week, can you see where you have unrealistic expectations or unfair comparisons concerning your spouse? Do we have that? Go to the Lord and ask the Lord, do I have this in my own life? Do I have unrealistic expectations or unfair comparisons concerning my spouse? I just pray that we will close the door to the enemy, that our marriages would flourish. Because our kids watch us and how our marriages are. Because one day those boys are going to have wives. And a bunch of kids. And so are we, these ladies are going to have husbands and kids. So how are we good role models or mentors to our children? What are we teaching them now? So, Father, I just pray that you would help us in our marriage. Even our relationship between you, Lord, that you be Lord of all in our marriage, that you be the center of our marriage. Our marriages would be Christ-centered. And, Lord, help husbands and wives to love one another, to forgive one another, and to grow with one another. Help us, Lord, to be Lord, help us be godly examples to friends and family in our marriages, Lord. That our marriage would honor you, that would speak volumes of who you are and how you bring two different people together and to become as one flesh, working things out, walking through this journey of life. Lord, help us to not be afraid to be godly examples and to encourage our spouses. Father, help us to be godly people towards our children, showing what marriage is about. And Father, I just pray that you would help us today. Pray, Father, that you would encourage us. I pray, Father, that you would help us to reveal to us maybe unrealistic goals or things that we have upon our husbands or wives. But Lord, ask, help us to see them more through the eyes of Christ. Help us not to see their imperfections, but Lord, encourage them in the things that they are good at and help them and help us to grow alongside of them. In Jesus' name, amen.